Welcome back, Victors, whose spoils go to you, to all you awarded admirals and certified commodores. Welcome back, triumphant heroes, one and all, to the Isle of Empty Eyes. In order to enjoy another sail-shredding and line-leveraging episode here of Dead Men Roll No Crits, this is your captain lashed to the sinking wreck of the sailing ship that is this podcast called Patrick. And joining me in looting the holds and sharking survivors are my four friends and your players, Gilbert, Rebecca, Seth, and Tyler. Howdy doody, everyone. What's that?
You're saying this is a sinking podcast? Like, well, hold on. What's going on?
Well, I'm still tending my wounds of the naval fleet combat, which I was
massacre very at excited. The Isle of Empty Eyes.
I was very excited to sink some of your vessels and didn't sink a single one.
A Paizo has removed our ATP, which is our authority to podcast. So
I wrote down the health of all my vessels so that I could track it easily, and then
they removed my adenosine triphosphate, so now I'm dead.
Good chemist joke.
Oh, I don't understand it at all. Thank you.
Yeah, that's for all the biochemists out there.
I know one guy in the audience is like, woohoo. He's just like, woohoo.
I'm sure there's some hexagons in that joke somewhere, Jabir.
Almost certainly.
That's all I know.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We did a special mass naval combat last week. And I let slip that there might be some more mass naval combat in this campaign. So I finally tuned it last week to lose handedly. So prepare for a much harder battle next time. But yeah,
are we going to fight a giant or something like massive naval combat?
I mean, we're
going to go with massive naval, just a big naval.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a giant.
You got to make a will save.
You got to fight his belly.
Yeah. We'll do something like that with like a giant kraken or something. That'll be real fun. This week's episode starts with you watching as half of the enemy fleet kind of sinks. The other half is scattered to the winds, and almost all of your fleet, all of your armada, still standing, very damaged. Some ships disabled, but most of them still. I would say half of them. Sailing out and encircling the Wormwood, which tried to flee, but indeed had way too many, but still very capable ships on its tail. We watch as a white flag is raised on the Wormwood's main mast, signaling that they would like to lay down arms and perhaps have a peaceful surrender.
That means that we can sink it now. Quick, shoot them.
Have you guys ever seen what happens at the end of the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
You know, actually, I don't think I got that one.
Over a decade ago.
Yeah. I think we should do that.
Was that at World's End?
That was at World's End, yeah.
I saw that one, but I cannot remember what happened.
At the end of At World's End, yes.
Yeah.
You got one up on me because I don't know what you're going to do.
You know, I can't remember the name of their vessel, but Beckett? I think is the bad, pirate, bad guy.
I called you pirate. Tyler, none of us know anything about the Pirates of the Caribbean. You can just tell us what happens in the Pirate of the Caribbean.
Okay. The ship gets double broadsided and blown to splinters.
Oh, wait. Is that the scene where like the Admiral is like walking down?
He's walking down the stairs and there's everything balls going everywhere and the ship is...
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just getting obliterated down to like the final, grain on the ship.
The Wormwood is like worth like 3,000 gold by itself. So like if you could not destroy it, that's a good amount of money.
I need a replacement for the spider's silk. So let's keep the Wormwood intact.
I don't think the spider's silk was sunk.
Wasn't that the last one?
One of four HP by my count. So
it just needs a little repairs. Yeah.
Actually, I had a question. Mm-hmm. So Tyler last episode specifically said no quarter, which is a piracy thing.
Also a great Led Zeppelin track.
Are we actually doing no quarter or like, is that a thing in this world?
Wait, what is no quarter?
So no quarter would be murdering everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I mean,
you're not
like
providing quarter to them after a battle. There's no
mercy, no quarter.
So typically, no quarter was like for people that were hunting pirates. They could either, arrest them, or if they were given certain orders, they could say, "You're a pirate. You've forfeited your life, sinking your ship and not letting you."
Because it wasn't just a pirate thing. I guess it was a naval thing, right? Where like if you sunk an enemy ship, it was kind of understood that you were supposed to rescue any survivors and then offer them quarter.
Well, often, sometimes it was
ships
a flag.
Of countries will go to war. They will have terms written between them that, you know, will benefit sailors for both armies or both, naval that they will, bring up survivors. But when you're talking about pirates, they don't have formal treaties
So, oftentimes what pirates would do is they would sail their ship without any flag being raised. And then once they got within a certain distance of another vessel, they would raise the black flag. And that is essentially signified their intentions. And then other, whatever the ship, like a merchant vessel would then run up a white flag, or they would just try to run away or whatever they did. But there were some pirates, if I remember correctly, that would run up a red flag. And that just meant we're going to kill you. Essentially, that just meant you're uber dead.
For the most part, you guys have heard of the Geneva Conventions. I'm just looking on Wikipedia. The Hague Convention saw no quarter as a war crime in 1899. So that's when piracy really ended.
Yeah.
Then they're just like, there's a war crime now. I guess we can't do it.
Right. But there's no way Cassius as a character would ever do a no quarter thing. That would be way outside of his.
What's the famous phrase? Is it no quarter asked, none given? No quarter was asked, none given.
I do not know it.
I think it was like, it's just like a phrase basically saying like, we don't care. Like, we're just going to fight you to the death, period. Like, cool stuff people said in the past. Anyway. Are we rescuing people?
No, we can absolutely help, all the vessels, whether they're, from Harrigan's fleet or from our fleet, we can help. There's also probably a lot of pirates that are going to be stranded on the beaches because they were sunk really, really close to shore.
Yeah, dinosaurs will get those guys.
And hopefully the dinosaurs don't get those folks, but I imagine we will set up, a little camp for them or something.
Some good idea.
Cassius, I think, would see this as just more of an opportunity to recruit more people to his side.
And potentially people who didn't even want to fight for Harrigan in the first place. So,
like, indeed.
Exactly.
Because we know that's kind of his thing.
He does not have a ton of loyalty.
If the Tidebreaker slips out of the Bay of No Hospitality, indeed, you see many a bloodied and beaten sailor clinging to driftwood and, abandoning ship and trying to bail out little dinghies and things like that as they're trying to save their lives.
Since Honto has like all the small ships, he would probably be the one that's like his ships are the ones that are like doing most of the rescue effort because they're nimble. They're quick.
If we come across someone who has like a tattoo across their chest that says, "I love Harrigan no matter what," maybe we'll kill that guy.
Maybe he was pinned down by Harrigan,
but
forced to get that tattoo.
We'll give him like 30 seconds to explain himself before.
Right.
Just take a long time to reload your pistol.
Yeah.
Just, exactly. All right, get to explaining. You've got five
100%.
rounds.
100%. Grain at a time.
Just clean it out the barrel. It's like, oh yeah, really? Oh, that's interesting. Huh.
Well, the pistols in this game, do you have to pack it? Like, is it a pellet that you pack and then put the gunpowder in and all that? Or
the last I remember, they come as kind of these. They're almost in shells. Like, it's a little pre-pack that you can just put in. Yeah. So
we did eventually move on to that before we started.
You don't have to do like bullets. A pour and pack kind of.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That would suck.
yeah. There's guns in Pathfinder. You have to take 30 seconds.
One of my favorite scenes in recent media was the latest Predator movie, where she tries to load a literal flintlock while the Predator is doing its thing. And I was like, that's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
Was that Prey?
That was Prey, yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember. That was a great movie.
Yeah, that was
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was like, I just couldn't imagine trying to do that while that thing is trying to kill you.
So I guess while the small ships are doing the recovery effort is the Tidebreaker and the other ships kind of moving in on the Wormwood? Is that what's happening essentially?
Yeah. Okay. As all the ships that are still in work in order, including the Tidebreaker, approacheth the Wormwood, Cassius, you get a little chuckle, you get a little laugh, thinking the last time that these two vessels came up against one another in naval combat was when Harrigan indeed took this vessel while you were a crew member from the Ramadumi. And about 2 years later, here you are, having each built yourself up as an admiral, captain first, and an admiral pirate lord of your own fleet, your own island.
I would like to, while we are approaching the Wormwood, use my spyglass and make sure that there's nothing fishy on board. Going on board the Wormwood. I don't want to sail into a trap.
Hey, you've got your hyper spyglass, right?
Yes, I have my spyglass of sees all baloney, and that allows me to get a +20 bonus on any baloney.
No, it's the one that lets you listen from a distance.
Artifact, if I've ever heard one. The sees all baloney. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, Seth's right. Sorry, not baloney. Listening.
Here's all baloney.
Here's all the baloney that you've got planned.
I mean, you can see and hear the crew on the top deck here. You know, I mean, there's the sound of like weapons hitting the hardwood deck of the Wormwood, as you see some pirates kind of like raising their hands up, showing you that they're unarmed, maybe waving for mercy. I don't know how exactly they would act, but
doing the can-can.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're making ready to, you know, defend being boarded at the moment. You see maybe some familiar faces on the top deck here. The quartermaster and the master at arms. There's the old Kipper and the gnomish master. I think it was master at arms. Patch Schult, and of course Rearis Krine, who was one of the officers that was underneath you, or above you, I should say, on your time on the Wormwood. Yeah, do all of you want to head on over to take this prize as your own?
Yeah, we can do that. We can kind of bring the Tidebreaker up alongside the Wormwood, and then, you know, throw out ladders and things and bring over crew and have our crew bring over, you know, the prisoners.
Lead Oakley. Indeed, we watch as the literal winds of fortune that have turned between the time since you guys left your indentured, you know, press ganged life aboard the Wormwood to now triumphantly stepping back aboard, maybe the spider silk, as damaged as it is, can come up along the other side, Rebecca, to let Alaris in. And indeed, you see, you know, Cassius, ever since your near-death experience, you're running with another plane on Bone Rack Island. You've maybe imagined something like this happening or had this dream many a times in the intervening months and years. But yeah, so stepping on board the vessel, you guys see some old deckhands and swabs that you mucked the bilges with and climbed in the rigging alongside. There's Three-Fingered Jack and, like I said, some of those other officers who are pretty stunned to see you all decked out in your sweet, expensive runed armors and weapons, you know. Yeah, they last saw you at level 2 or 3.
Yeah, I'm at 2 at the most.
So yeah, long time and a lot of experiences as crouched between now and then.
My high fashion fine clothing.
But yeah, as you climb up to the bridge, a sea of sailors, their hands up, kind of parts, but you do not see Harrigan at the wheel. Instead, there is a lone woman in command of the bridge who's got a hooked hand kind of attached to the massive ship's wheel and has her other hand up in the air and says, I surrender. The name is Atalita Doloroso, the captain of the Wormwood and admiral of this fleet. You've destroyed my ships and killed more than half me men, and we've barely sunk a single one of your vessels. I surrender this ship and pray thee, grant me mercy. Grant mercy to the sailors that let live and those aboard this ship.
Where's Harrigan? Alara says quietly to whoever's next to her.
I mean, he's not here.
She just happens to be standing next to the lady who was talking to him.
I think Cassius
she's literally like 2 feet to the left.
Cassius does like a little slow turn, kind of looking around, looking at all the different sailors' faces. And then while when he comes all the way back around to where he's kind of looking back up at Lita.
Atalita.
Atalita. I even wrote it down right. I'm just
looking at Atalita.
When I'm looking at Atalita, he, you know, kind of shrugs his shoulders. And then you see the 8-foot watered wingspan come out of him again.
Oh, my.
And he just kind of flies 10 feet straight up slowly. He says, you shouldn't blame yourself for not being able to take the fleet, one blessed by the sea itself. And then, you know, he maybe looks down at the rest of the sailors and says, I am not one for wanton destruction and death, nor am I one looking for the greed of bloodshed upon these seas, unlike the man who you sailed for. You will find that if you cooperate and work with me, that you will have a good opportunity here to be better sailors and pirates than you hoped for before you sailed to my paradise of an island.
A paradise overgrown with
and
monsters and dinosaurs.
Ha-ta-ta-ta-ta. They don't know that. Ha-ta-ta-ta-ta.
It's a little and, paradise. Just go explore the jungle. You'll be fine.
Don't do that. It's a pirate's paradise where I point you and then you don't go away from there. Otherwise,
behind the fort's walls, it's paradise.
A very loose alliance with a bunch of cyclops.
But a stinky, stinky y'all paradise. Just trampling on my riz right now.
Well.
But I'll address Atalita and say, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that Harrigan himself wouldn't deem this adventure worthy of a personal appearance.
I think perhaps Harrigan didn't have full faith in this invasion, though he was talking about this and many schemes and plans for months now. It did seem that by hook or by crook, he meant your destruction, Captain Cassius, sir. I don't know what you did to get on Harrigan's bad side, but he was indeed hoping that I'd be able to take your ship and your head, if need be, back with me as a victory prize.
Cassius chuckles a little and says, this is what happens when pirates try to play politics and allow themselves to get drunk on an ambition more than what they should. Harrigan consistently seems to underestimate both myself and, well, seemingly everyone else of the Shackles, so I'm not surprised his little plan failed, as he's unable to see down below the clouds he's so lofted himself into.
It seems like you know Harrigan very well. Perhaps we can adjourn the bloodshed, the fighting for the day, and have a drink in. I guess it's your captain's quarters now, but down in the captain's ready room. There is
on
some,
the Wormwood.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, we called it the Rumpus Room. But
well, you don't want to take advantage of the. I mean, you guys like didn't even get to see the inside of this when you were on the ship.
Yeah, it's got a
thing. I'll go down there if you promise there's no traps or shenanigans waiting down there.
Well, you did like look through your shenanigans scope and. Yeah. prove there were no shenanigans. But I mean, yeah, you can start marching off all the other sailors, you know, in irons if you want. But
I'm just thinking more unrealistically. I'm like, I hope there's no, you know, final black powder solution in their minds. I'm like, if we can't take your ship, you're leaving in the bottom of the ocean.
Wait, check the crow's nest. Do they have a TNT barrel up there?
Exactly. Maybe that's it. We've just played too much Sea of Thieves, and I don't trust other ships.
Do you want to make a perception check? See if you notice anything odd?
Well, do sense motive instead?
That is sense motive as perception, but...
Oh, right. Wrong. You know how it is going back and forth between these systems.
Yeah, what's your bonus?
Yeah, my bonus to perception is a 24. Is that right? Good.
I mean, she seems fairly earnest. I don't think you detect a lot of subterfuge in her mannerisms, her voice here.
So who all is it here? Is it just Cassius and Hilarious for now?
I imagined all of you clamored aboard and maybe other crew members to start, you know, taking people's weapons and stuff. But if you all, I mean, you guys are all invited if you'd like to the study to get your captains back. Or we could just have a captain discussion if you guys want.
Well, I mean, it seems like that was going on. I just wasn't sure if I was, if any of my characters were there to speak or not. It was all.
Yeah. This is a pretty big moment for the founding four Wormwoodians coming back to the ship and getting to just like kick your feet up on the Harrigan's desk if you want. Yep.
All righty. We can do that. Yeah. So let's say it's all of us and all the officers, maybe including Sandara, and come down with.
Yeah. She's going to hand over what does she have on her? That's a great question.
A pink slip.
Probably something I could have looked up beforehand.
License and registration.
Oh, yeah.
What's the has,
number for the womb one?
Yeah, she's the VIN.
She's got a plus one long sword, maybe a plus one dagger as well, and some other magic items I'll get to. But yeah, she hands over her captain's bicorn hat. She wears a Chelish admiral's coat. That looks like it's seen better days. And
hold the phone.
She'll hand over the sword. What's up?
A Chelish overcoat.
Yeah, it's not really depicted on the art here, I don't think. But she, you know, you've seen plenty of pirates take coats and kind of adorn them from.
Okay.
She's not Chelish.
Okay.
No, she looks maybe to be a mix of Inner Sea and Mwangi kind of bloodlines.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I get strong Rebecca vibes off of this art.
You mentioned
that. I really do.
What art are you looking
at? I was in the Discord.
I put it in our Discord.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
they were goofing on this character art.
I think it would be a very easy cosplay for Rebecca at the very least.
Rebecca, can you rock some dreads?
Yeah, that's some what I would look like shells. If I tried to look like Jack Sparrow or something.
Sure. It's actually very Jack Sparrow, yeah. But yeah, she'll hand over her blade and you guys can join her. She'll put out some glasses and some rum from a small keg. And she will toast and say, to Barnabas Harrigan now, who I would fight and die for with my dying breath.
Nobody else raises their glass.
That's a choice. Take a drink.
You all know him as a rough and rude captain of the Wormwood who's done terrible things to terrible people, but I've known him quite a long time. He may be out for himself. He's may have run roughshod over many a folk in many a year, but it wasn't too long ago he stopped, and he helped me at my darkest hour. We were mates together on this very ship. Shipmates, you might call them. 15 years ago, when I was enslaved to this boat's former captain, a son of a Sahugin named Flint.
I mean, we were enslaved to the current captain, so I mean...
As the wheel turns, as they say, Flint had impregnated me against my will. A one-handed swab as skinny as a beanpole, and he was going to kill me rather than see me with child. And so I took this hook hand and I slit his throat, slit that rat's neck from ear to ear. And the first mate at the time took pity on me, spared my life, that of my unborn child. And that is the Barnabas Harrigan that I knew.
Well, lucky for you, you are probably at the receiving end of the kindest thing Barnabas Harrigan has ever done. And I don't want you to, you know, get the wrong deal. I have tried many times to convince Barnabas that we could be allies rather than at each other's throats the entire time, but he seems very hell-bent on achieving a select few goals and has never been one to, you know, turn his rudder away from those, so we've always been at odds. That and the fact that he likes slavery, I don't. That thing kind of has always put a crumple in each other's hats, but I've always wished that he would open his eyes to a different world.
It's true, Harrigan's as devilish as they come was forged in the pirate life, but he does still honor the code amongst pirates such as you and I. He let this old sea witch live on, and I'll capitulate with you to save my life the same way he probably would sell me out if need be. I'll do what you need to do to keep my men alive, keep my neck intact. I'll tell you where Harrigan is, but I don't know if that'll do you any good.
And why's that?
Well, he's sent just about every ship I believe he's been able to muster throughout the years to attack you here, but he decided to stand back and not sail with them, so he might have other plans in mind. He's on an isle to the southwest of here, built a fort with slave labor over many a year. It's an unnamed island. It doesn't even show up on many a map, but it's a few miles off of the Smoker of Gannett. Many sail past it without even seeing any signs of the fort. You might miss it. There's a little reason to go there. There's rocky shores. No, nothing grows save for monsters and ways to die with no one where you're at. Very few have stepped foot on that isle, but those that have, myself included, call it the Cracked Spine Island.
Fitting.
But that's where you'll find Harrigan, and it's very possible he's waiting there for you, Captain Cassius, in case I was not able to succeed in taking the Isle of Empty Eyes.
Yes, I'm sure he's either there or has already planned his exit strategy if things were to go poorly.
And they went very poorly.
I believe we will have to make a visit and listen to whatever Harrigan has to say. As for you and your crew, we'll probably bring you, if I'm being honest. And the rest of your crew can stay here, and we'll find ships that they can sign aboard, or they can enjoy the intoxication of the island if they wish.
Many of them have a hand at ship repairs and things of the like, so you can put them to work repairing the damage they've done to your fleet, if that's what you have in mind. They'll make for good workers.
What's the quality of the wormwood? Like, is it, are the boards like?
Yeah, it's looks like it's been very finely kept up in the intervening years since you stepped aboard.
Good quality wood.
Yeah.
Despite the name, yes,
it's a very expensive. Yeah, I think we talked about it, but the name came from the kind of poisonous polish that they use to stain the wood.
Mm-hmm.
A poison that you guys never ran across in your exploration of the ship, which is probably good because it's very deadly.
Yay!
I think upon her suggesting that her men could repair Cassius's fleet, Honto will kind of thunk the floor a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Good wood to be had to start the repairs here, Captain.
Just as spare lumber out the wormwood. Yeah.
Antithesis situation.
Yeah.
Build a better wormwood. Wormwood 2.0. Just like cobble all the ships that you sunk together.
Oh, yeah. Just
make a super.
Just one ship. Massive ship. Just
a juggernaut of a ship. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to remember. Did Waterworld have just a super juggernaut ship?
It had a giant oil tanker ship that they kind of repaired, but their atolls were kind of put together from all kinds of wrecks and stuff.
I was also thinking about the Pirates of Dark Water, like the bad guy ship.
His ship is huge. One of my favorite.
It's so huge.
The one of the first comics I ever read, and one of the my favorite Gru comics, has a massive ship made up of like dozens of huge ships, and it's like a floating island. Which really got Sergio Aragonés to sign it, which is in my collection somewhere. But that's a great pirate story.
I think Cassius has always wanted a jacuzzi the size of a sloop. So, you know, let's make it happen.
A jasloopy?
A jasloop.
Oh, right. So, yeah, you've captured the Wormwood. Congratulations. If it was, I was going to make her fight. But if it was, only if it was like a closer battle, you know, closer. Yeah. Yeah, you guys have earned her, like seeing the entire fleet destroyed in the matter of like, what, 40 minutes, I think was the the entire time of the battle. Yeah. Yeah. So they rose that flag pretty quickly once they realized they wouldn't be able to escape. Oh, right. So what would you guys like to do next? You've got prisoners. You've got some tithing to do.
We got a jasloopy.
Do you want to get the captains together and some of the heads of the Tidebreaker and have a powwow, have a chat?
Yeah, I mean, we can discuss the plan with everybody. You know, we need people to head up the repairs. We need people to, you know, also defend the island in case there's some other shenanigans bound. And then we need ships to sail to the Cracked Spine Island along with Adelita to intercept Harrigan or find out whatever is there. You know, even if Harrigan isn't there, hopefully clues left behind as to all of the things he's been up to.
Is he heading at the end of book 5 or the end of book 6?
Yes.
that's our main question. Yeah, where will you be able to catch him? Right, so if you bring some of the captains together, I think some of the more, you know, latecomers might not have like a vested interest. Your captain, the Barracuda captain and stuff is, you know, a lot of the contracts that you had with these folks was to defend the Isle of Empty Eyes. So they are in repair and celebration mode, like almost as soon as the battle is over, taking all they can from the sinking ships, which, you know, for the most part did not have a lot of items in their hold.
Someone's got their hand on the hull of a ship and they're like, woo! And it starts leaking and they put their hand back down like, uh-oh.
someone bring me some rum. I'm immobile.
But yeah, I think, is there anyone that you want to talk with first? I think a Captain Gorbadok Bungalot Rummerbutt will attend to the Tidebreaker along with Captain Elise Scrogblood and Pierce Jarrell. Maybe the other officers, Sandara Quinn and stuff can come to the Tidebreaker's captain's chambers to meet with you.
I have a policy of not talking to people whose names I can't say.
Just sound it out. Gorbadok Bungalot Rummerbutt. Just real easy.
Let me say it like that. Take some time to talk to Pierce.
Yeah, he'll make smoochy eyes at you and be pouring you drinks and stuff.
Despite the fact that I left him for dead.
his ship is disabled, not destroyed. So, yeah.
Do his eyes make like kissy shapes? Like, does he have like lip eyes?
His one eye is fluttery. Gorbadok, Captain Rummerbutt will start the proceedings and be like,
no doubt that Snake Harrigan is sitting back waiting for you all to come. The lily-livered, yellow-bellied rat is not willing to get his hands dirty in a fleet combat like this. He's likely nestled between hired bodyguards and killers and sycophants. So if we attack him head-on, he'll have a lot of muscle. I say we raid this fortress room by room, taking them all out. No quarter, as it were, is what they call it. Take out the body before we take off the head of the snake, Captain Cassius. Is this what Rummerbutt sounded like? I forget.
I think you're close.
Probably. Close enough for what I'm getting paid to GM this campaign. Yeah. Do you want Adelita at this meeting to ask her questions, or do you want to interrogate her at all? Or
she could be there.
What questions do you have for her? She apparently has seen this aisle before, has been there.
What's your sign?
I guess a body count of who's at the island, who they left. How many pirates are left at the island?
Great question. Ooh. Why don't you make me a diplomacy check?
This is Cassius, you know, conveying that I'm not, and I think Cassius would
say,
I'm not looking to go into this island and lay waste. This is another island that we can operate out of, and Harrigan has many, many, many answers that I need badly. So, we have to do it carefully.
It is a much smaller island than the Isle of Empty Eyes, from what she says, and a lot less kind of natural resources. But it is similarly situated on the outside, the far extreme of the Shackle Islands. So it's, I think I said 6 miles. It's actually 36 miles west of Gannett Island, which is already like one of the furthest west reaches of like the tip of the archipelago. Yeah, what have you rolled here? Okay, 17 on the dice. Great. She gets very chummy with you, Captain Cassius, and will reveal that, you know, there's all manner of things that he's collected over the years to keep his isle safe, Captain. There's something that slithers beneath the sea that guards the waters around this isle. I believe he has in his employ a witch, a foul-tongued man who's trained a monster to guard the reef maze surrounding the isle. The only way that his ships can enter the bay of the fort is they ring a bell on the isle and throw a gutted cow, an entire carcass, overboard to appease this beast. But
it is a good thing that we have a Wormwood and a few of the ships left from your fleet. I expect that if we sail in on those, they will probably throw the doors open a little bit for us.
But yes, if you get on the island, they'll have many a defenses. They've trained pirates and bodyguards there. But they've also, he's brought in all manner of creatures and people from all over the Shackles. There were these very large. I saw them briefly. Large green skinned sea beasts that I think he's training up as a form of defense of the isle, and as preoccupied as Harrigan was over the last few months planning for this invasion, he's had many a scheme, many a plan in place. The Isle of Empty Eyes probably was not his only concern. His attention was very divided. He sent some of his vessels to raid the coast of the Mwangi and took a few slaves from a small shipping town there, though his ship could have definitely taken an entire hull's worth. He only took back four or five from this small town.
Oh, don't you dare.
Why don't you make me a perception check,
Don't
Tyler?
You dare. Cassius gets visibly angry.
Raggy.
You want me to make a perception? You said perception?
Anyone or maybe a appropriate lore check, Ocean,
I missed the thing that made Cassius upset. What made him upset?
Well, why don't you make me a perception check? I'll tell you if Honto knows. Yeah, Cassius, definitely. I mean, as much as Tyler can understand what is happening here, Cassius, blood rushing to your face, your ears lighting up like fire. Fortunately, Candoso does not understand the importance, but Honto, from the description of the inhabitants, the location, the description of the locale, it does seem, a tinge of fear and anger runs down Cassius's spine, and you maybe get a sense of this as well, Honto. She has described quite perfectly the fishing village where you guys have all visited that Cassius comes from. Just visited a few months prior to finishing up the Isle of Empty Eyes adventure. It sounds like Harrigan has indeed captured some hostages.
So that's the island that he's inhabiting right now?
Well, she explains
he raided the Mwangi coast.
They were taken.
And that's where they live, and that's what she's saying.
Yeah, they took them the hostages back to this isle, this cracked spine island.
And the fact that she's saying that he could have taken all of them, but only took a few, means that he did this on purpose. He knew exactly what he was doing.
And also, probably, the rest of them are dead.
Possibly. Very possible.
If you wanted to check on that, it would be several days sailing outside of the direction that you're headed. Yeah. But, yeah, Honto, you understand this, and I think that's it. But Cassius, do you make this known to your...
No, Cassius doesn't want to reveal that to in front of Adelita.
Yeah, I think she might... Let me see. I think she gets a sense that this bothers you a great deal. And is like, as I said, he's had many a scheme and plan over the years, and he's got contingencies and backups, Captain Cassius. There's the only other way into this fort that I know of is I've heard that there is an escape route, a secret sea cave that exists under the isle that is exposed at low tide, but even at high tide, it would provide a stealthy entrance or exit from the cracked spine island.
I think while she's saying this, sensing the anger that Cassius is feeling and also being reminded all over again how horrible this man is, Honto is going to slowly like rise up like next to her, like in such a way where, like, you know how you can stand and then you can stand? He stands like in such a way that his stature, his musculature, his sinew are all present, and he just kind of looms over her, and he says, "This is the man you defend and swear by."
I don't know of these folks that he's taken, but I do know for a fact that he's taken many, a husband, a wife, a child from their family in the past and put them to work on his ships, and not all of them made it. But
Honto spits on the floor at her feet.
As I said, there's not many worse than Harrigan, but I have been on the receiving end of some of his charity. But as I said, I'm willing to let you know anything and everything about his isle. But I do warn you that it seems like he was making preparations in case I did not live through this. Captain Elise Grogblood will pop in. It's like, well, if what Deloroso says here is true, if there is a back way into this fortress, it may be wise to enter quietly through there, and also maybe mitigate the means of his egress while retaining some element of surprise. But it's very possible that there's a number of ways to this fort. Sindara Quinn says, I do not know if pretending to be friends and sneaking past the sea worm or whatever it is the way to go. If indeed whatever is in that water is under control of a powerful sea witch, then even if we could pretend our way into the front doors, that might only last as long as the alarm is not sounded on the island. It might be better to just take the ships that we have that are still sailing and try to take that beast head on. Maybe kill it and just demoralize all the troops to see some kind of kraken killed right before their eyes. I've seen the rest of this crew take on all manner of giant sea beasts. It wouldn't be the first.
Cassius says, and you three, he's talking to, you know, Honto, Alaris, and Kendoso. Tell me, would you rather sneak in through this cave or kill whatever pet lurks in the water?
It's in my nature to go the sneakiest way possible. In this case, I think would be the back entrance.
I'd say first one, then the other.
You could do kill both at the same time.
Kill their pet. Let them sweat it out. Let them mass their troops on the shore, while a away team slips in the back.
He loves this boat, doesn't he?
I mean, didn't love it enough to keep it in reserve. sent it with another captain to come at
you.
I
don't know if it. It's possible for Barnabas to love anything.
Poor choice of words. What if we parade it back to him? And do we have explosives? Do we have explosives? Do we have enough explosives to destroy a ship?
Yeah, I mean, you could just set it on fire. It's pretty cheap.
That's cheap, but he's thinking destructive.
Like you want a big kaboom.
The wormwood limps back home. They let it in. It explodes.
Once again, it's like 3,000 gold. You guys could just sell it.
I don't care. I'm Patrick's a trying mom, to buy us Patrick. Out.
I know. It's a big old warship that you could just like take for yourself and call it the.
Got lots of solid wood.
I was cursed on the podcast again.
Real nice.
I was gonna be like, you call it the Pronk and whatever you want. I'm like, Harrigan sucks. the HMS Harrigan blows. What a jerk.
That reminds me, when I was living in Texas, there was a beer. Like, I was just like, you know, browsing the beer, and there was just this plain white box with a really crappy drawing of the state of Oklahoma. And the beer was just called Oklahoma Sucks. That was just the beer. Like,
I'd buy that.
All right.
The truth in advertising, finally, once. Yeah, as you guys are chatting up strategies and talking whether or not you can trust this Adelita or not, and what she says, there's a small squeaky voice from below the table, the captain's table, that speaks up as Scrimshaw Jack says,
I got out some WD-40. Table squeaking again.
I've literally seen Mr. Candoso turn into a blooming dragon multiple times. Why don't you all just fly on top of this fort and hello, Mr. Aragon? Phoenix like finger gun. Sounds. Yo, take the fight straight as an arrow to all that old bleeping bleepity bleep bleep. There's some very salty language from young Jack Scrimshaw. Yo, kill him before he's got time to call the guards and this whole thing will be over.
I cover Bartleby's ears. all that salty language.
Yes, and Dara's like, Jack, please watch your language. If he's
there's children present.
I didn't teach you that in pirate school.
If there are hostages there, they might die in the process, or it would, you know, summon all his lieutenants, perhaps, and they would slay said dragon, Jack. You don't want to see Mr. Candoso die, do you? And he's like shaking his head. He's like, I guess not.
I mean, how does polymorphic in this game? Like, if you lose all of your hit points and you're morph shape, do you like go back to your normal hit points, or does it like translate?
Oh, who knows?
No, if you lose all your hit points, I think you enter the dying state.
Yeah, when you polymorph, it's like you get temporary hit points, and then those.
Okay, because in like other popular TTRPGs, when you're in your polymorph shape, when you lose all of your hit points, you just go back to your regular hit point pool, and you don't lose any of them. It's really kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
wild. And the next turn, you just polymorph into something else.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a bear again. Bye. Yeah,
you just have another 100 hit points you get to hit someone who gets to burn through.
I mean, I guess you could do that, you know, with like the 15 temporary hit points you get, but it wouldn't last you very long.
Well, yeah.
One hit. Yeah. The aisle that she has described is only a couple of days sail away, you know, a few hundred miles from the Isle of Empty Eyes. So you are pretty sure if you moved quickly, you would definitely beat, you know, any ship before word could reach of, you know, this attack failing. And you do have the Wormwood and the Tidebreaker in your crews who are completely undamaged, so they would not need any repairs.
And all the other warships are not damaged either.
You can bring those as well. Most of the damaged ships will need like minimum a week of repairs before they're sailing at full speed and, you know, not taking on water and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of the fleet will have to stay behind. Maybe repair. Repair could take weeks for some of them. But yeah.
So are we going with the plan of splitting up so that we have a ship going into the harbor to fight the Kraken or whatever it is to distract everybody while another party goes in the back entrance?
Well, I'm just saying you guys have 8 characters between the four of you and there is so many chances. It actually works out very well in this adventure path where you can divide up on multiple crews and
Well, for my part, Alaris is very excited about sneaking around, and Sharga is very excited about fighting a giant worm in the sea.
A giant sea dragon.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sea snake or sea dragon or some kind of beast down there.
I think Cassius is happy with, because we need a ship to fight the tame sea monster. We also need ships to stay behind to guard the, like, even if we go through the exit, we, you know, it'd be nice to have some extra ships to essentially form, you know, a barricade around the island just to make sure that, you know, no way in, no way out.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the, you know, breaching team fails, it's not like they have anywhere to go that is not going to immediately get shot down. So unless he can turn into a dragon, we don't know what class levels Harrigan has.
I'll never tell.
Boy, if he was a druid, that would suck. I don't want to fight that.
No, he's been leveling up in the most threatening class, investigator.
Oh, good times. Yeah, he's a pretty ripped looking dude, at least from the art. Yeah. So he's got some muscle behind him.
I can't wait to rip him.
A new one?
What? Just rip him, just in general, just ripping in general.
Let's talk about characters. Yeah, so there are a couple paths, and if you want to do them both, we'll divide up the crews. If Alaris goes in the sneakier way and comes from the bottom up, who does Alaris want on her crew, on her team?
Who's good at sneaking? Honto, maybe? Are you good at sneaking?
Yes, he is. He's a little bit better than Oz at sneaking. However, he's also better than Oz at full frontal combat. So, like,
full frontal.
I feel like Oz could be pretty sneaky.
Yeah, he's not as good as Honto is. But
Rebecca, when your kid gets here and asks why everyone's chuckling about full frontal, good luck.
Don't call attention.
It's a goofy name for a character from Gundam Unicorn.
It's hysterical.
That's a real answer, actually.
Gerbert. What do you think about Candoso or Bartleby? Who wants to be in this head-on, taking on the fort battle, and who wants to sneak in the back way?
I mean, man, I feel like
a head-on fight sounds like Bartleby, like 100%.
I mean, I think that Candoso would have a role in the infiltration, just in so far as he's capable of casting spells that let people like breathe underwater and stuff, but like but it's definitely not his style. So I think Bartleby indeed is going to need to be the man on the inside.
I was going to say that I feel like the team going with Alaris is going to be, that's going to be a more personal fight with Harrigan, right? So it seems like that might have some bearing potentially on who wants to face-to-face with Harrigan versus...
We can also, you know, ideally you guys will be able to meet up inside the fort, you know, if you're taking it from both sides. So there'll be chances to mix these teams up, hopefully, in the next few episodes. So what about Honto and an Aussie, Seth? Where you see each one going?
I could see either of them in either position, if I'm honest.
Aussie's taking on a giant monster, and Honto's going with Alaris. Yay.
I mean, Honto and Alaris have kind of established a battle buddy status.
Very melee-y. That would mean that Kovic, Bartleby, Honto are going in the sea cave with Alaris, and Captain Cassius, you've got your beefiest lieutenant and Sharga, Aussie, and your magic using fellow Candoso to back you up.
He said beefiest, and I was like, yeah, that's me. Oh, wait, no.
Wait, hold up a second. Beefiest. Like, I mean, like, Sharga, I'm a huge Sharga fan. Don't get me wrong.
Have you seen the Sharga artwork for Candoso? That's beef all the way down.
I mean, Honto is a giant lizard person.
Yeah, but he's not staying. They're going with the beefiest on the boat.
I don't know how to tell you this, Seth, but I think she has a higher strength score.
Does she?
I think so. Sharga's scary.
What's her strength score?
You're called out now.
Oh. See, well, see, because Honto is 1918.
Seth, this is where you go. Con. Beefiness isn't strength, it's constitution. What's that con stat?
Well, I mean, her con stat is almost certainly 18.
18. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So you guys are pretty.
But what's her dex stat?
Yeah, let's just compare these two. Let's have them fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, listen, you both, all of y'all look huge when you're standing next to Cassius, okay? Just feel good about that.
I think that's everyone. I think Bartleby looks big next to Cassius somehow. Like,
Cassius is light.
It's because I sit on his shoulders. So yeah. I make him carry me around.
Do you guys want to head out immediately? Try to retain this element of surprise.
I think Honto would look directly at Cassius.
You mean immediately as in the next day, right?
Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine.
I'm already pumping.
Cassius gets
the sails
blasted that evening.
great. Right before a very rocky sailing trip.
Yeah, he absolutely interrupts somebody's sleep. Not one of the casters, because that's rude.
Because we got to prep in the morning.
Wake up and drink with me.
Yeah, but one of the rest of y'all is getting interrupted in the middle of the night.
Well, I mean, like, did he notice that that Honto had recognized what was being implied?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Maybe. It's tough. He was pretty emotional in the moment. I don't know how much he was paying attention to Honto.
Also, Honto maybe not the most, not probably not number one on the list of people you want to get drunk and talk to.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, when you're that blazed, I don't know, but blazed when you're that.
I think it's 420. That's a different thing. That's a
completely different thing.
Rebecca, when your kid gets to this point, that's a different thing.
That's a different thing. When you're that messed up, I don't know.
Pipe weed.
When you have smoked enough weed, I mean mead.
Pipe weed.
I mean
marijuana.
Dang it.
The quiet part. When you're that intoxicated, you know, I don't know if he's thinking clearly about, or even knows who's he's interrupting. I think he just kind of just barges through a door and just starts, you know, like, this isn't the larder. Why does everybody tell me where things are when they're not here? This is clearly a, I don't even know who this is. Who is this? And he just like kicks whoever. You know, he's just kind of doing
Gorbadoc from her butt is like, ow!
No.
Oh, sorry.
Not
sorry.
Why him?
Shush. Shush. No more sea beasts for you. Rummer. Rummer. Rummer.
Gorbadoc.
Yeah.
Buckle on.
Gorbachev.
Yeah.
Rummer butt.
Captain of the
Gorbachev.
The blistered butt waters. Yes.
I guess Cassius just met him like a week ago.
Yeah.
That was part of Alaris's adventure.
like Alaris introduces him. He's like, his name is what now?
you're gonna have to write that one down for me.
You run that past me. Excuse again. Me?
There's another boyfriend you're introducing. I can't believe it.
Right. Yeah. So there is both a big party that evening to celebrate the victory, but also, you know, there's like 100 captives, more than 100 captives that are having to be like watched and taken care of. So. Yeah, the island has grown even more pirates. Some of them are, you know, have wounds and things that are being attended to. But the next day, while
they're an invasive species, after all.
Yeah, almost every single ship in the fleet is in the Bay of No Hospitality for repairs, trying to get all these prisoner pirates to work and putting them into repair mode, get them dry docked where they can and. Where need be, and others just getting to work cutting down trees, things like that in the Isle. We can watch as the Tidebreaker and some of the other warships, along with the Wormwood, get ready to lift anchor and set sail for adventure that awaits on a short jaunt. If you leave early on, you know, that morning by the next day's setting sun, your guys' ships see this island, this very sparsely vegetated and dotted with some hard scrabbling bushes and vines. Some seabirds maybe call it home, but not much else. there are broken stones of high cliffs and headlands that are part of the isle here. But yes, on careful observation from afar, with the setting sun behind this isle, you see tiny little wisps of smoke, maybe small pinpricks of light in the growing shadows on this eastern facing hidden cove where this fort is located. It looks almost exactly how Adelita Del Rosso described it. It is a rocky isle that probably very few would be interested in, but would make for a very good hidden fortress. Great movie. So yeah, the rocky coastline looks dangerous. It looks almost near impossible for some of the junior members of your crew to ascend. But yeah, for some of your most experienced sailors, they could definitely survive the peril, head out in a hat boat, Alaris at their command. You know, you've got the excellent climbers of Honto and Kovic along with her. Bartleby is there too. Bartleby can set out.
Yep. He's in a pram.
And yeah.
What is that? It's like a papoose.
A papoose, yeah.
Dang, yeah, put him in a papoose.
Captain Cassius, Captain Alaris, you guys can each kind of salute one another and go off on your respective missions here, and as the your other ships maybe make sail for the center of the isle, center of this hidden cove, you all muster up the feels of the weight of the coming battles, perhaps ahead of you on the cracked Spine Island, perhaps the heaviness of those of you who seek it, finally getting revenge on Barnabas Harrigan, the salty slaver of a pirate that brought you all together as a crew, press ganged as you were years ago. But yeah, as you prepare, as you head out, I think that is all a tale for another time here on Dead Men Roll No Crits.
See that coming.
I don't know what we're gonna do next week, because you guys can figure it out which team you want to play with first. But I imagine each of their fights and adventures will be kind of happening at the same time.
And at level 15.
Yeah, I was going to level you up, but I don't know. You guys just leveled up a couple episodes ago. Is that too?
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Too soon? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's never too true. Soon to level up.
Hey, you know what?
I don't know. It depends on what the level of that sea monster is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a sliding scale, but yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go level everyone up and give you a ton of homework to level 15.
Oh, heavens. Boy. I did it, guys.
Oh, boy.
This is the one time that worked. Actually, you know, like I said, you do get like a ton of experience for both the mass naval combat and, I mean, technically, taking Adelita Del Rosso without drawing your sword.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I don't feel bad about this.
We completed that combat without anybody having to take out their cell phone.
And before the end of this book, I need to get you guys to like level 17. So we gotta get to it.
Level 15 is a huge level, so this is a lot of work.
Okay,
a huge level for literally every class.
You guys pick which four you want to play with next week, and we'll talk about it afterwards, but we will get to them and talk about maybe a little bit of level up next time. Guys, thank you for playing with me this week.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for listening. We are well into now part three of The Price of Infamy, the end of book five of this adventure, and we will continue the stories, the tales next time. Here on Dead Men Roll No Crits. So long, everyone.
Yarr.
Just loopy.